You know, I think it's interesting how each nation has an animal as their representative. Have you ever thought about that? Anyone know what ours is? It's the eagle. You know, when you look at nations, most of them choose animals that are fierce or considered to be tough, I guess you say. England has the lion. Russia has the bear. I believe it's China has the dragon. And then you look through others, you'll find all sorts of animals that nations have chosen to represent themselves with. And some of these animals, you see pictures of them, they're fierce animals. You even go back into history, and you know what you'll find? Previous kingdoms have associated themselves with animals. The kingdom of Babylon was an eagle and a lion at times. Persia was a bear, Greece a leopard, and Rome, well, they didn't associate themselves with the beast. The Bible associates themselves with the beast. But you know, when you think about it, how about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible tells us that He is building His kingdom. Have you ever thought about what He chose to represent His kingdom, the people of His kingdom? The Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that He chose sheep to represent His people. Now, that's not flattering, is it? Sorry if I had to burst your bubble early this morning. But God chose sheep to represent His people, and Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. And that's what represents His kingdom. Now, you know, our Lord and Savior is honest, is He not? He's gonna always be honest. He's perfect. So if we're sheep represent us, then that has to be true in some way. And also, He's humbling because He tells the truth. He doesn't give us words that will make us feel better. He'll tell the truth. It humbles us, reminds us who we are. You know, this morning, I want to talk about Jesus Christ, our shepherd. And to do that, I believe we have to recognize the fact that we are sheep and we need a shepherd. We're going to be looking at John chapter 10 this morning. And the title of this message is Jesus Christ, our shepherd. And I'm going to give you four facts of sheep, followed by four facts of a shepherd. So I got 8 points. So I'm going to run through these this morning. Four facts of sheep and then four facts of a shepherd. Beginning in John chapter 10 verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for blessing us. I thank you for allowing us to meet here this morning. And as we look at this passage and as we consider the fact that we are compared to sheep and that you're our shepherd, I pray that you'll just bless us today from your word. Help us to not only see the teachings there, but be able to apply them. And Lord, I pray you just encourage us today from what we find here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin with the sheep. Four facts of sheep. I'm going to get into this right away because I got 8 points. The first one is, sheep are dirty animals. Sheep are dirty animals. Now think about sheep for a minute. Sheep are stubborn. Now, this is the practical, I guess you say, description of sheep given by a shepherd. Sheep are stubborn, hard-headed, filthy, and dirty animals. I think if you go to a farm, you realize that. Or if you go to the fair and you see the animals there on exhibit, you realize that. For the most part, sheep are dirty animals. They do not clean themselves. They cannot clean themselves completely, but they require constant care. And because of this, sheep are susceptible to all sorts of illnesses and infections. Some are just terrible that sheep can get. But they are very vulnerable to sickness and to illness. And the shepherd has to constantly watch over the sheep and keep them clean. You know, when one sheep becomes sick, often that illness will spread to others because sheep are very, I guess you say that they congregate a lot They're always together. They're very social animals. And so one illness will often spread rapidly to the others. And sheep themselves are dirty. Now, like it or not, this morning, hope I don't offend you, I put myself in this group. Like it or not, we fit this description as human beings. You know, we are weak, and really, we're foolish creatures. Even the most intelligent of us are foolish when it comes before God. You know, if we are left to ourselves, what do? Mankind now, I'm not talking about men and women in general. When we are left to ourselves, we set up idols, and we create all these other fancy philosophies and ideas and methods. And you know what we call it? We call it religion. We got all these ideas, and we got all these plans, and all these great things that we're going to do. You know, I mean, it goes back to the book of Exodus. What happened when Moses went up on the mount to get the commandments from God? He wasn't God. He returned. And what happened? They'd already established idols there. I mean, I think it's very clear when we're left to ourselves, we're going to go do our own thing, just like sheep. You know, we are also a dirty and sinful race. Now think about that for a minute. A dirty and sinful race. What does Romans 3 tell us? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now that none includes everyone in this room and everyone in this world. We're all included in that. Later in that same chapter, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This morning, we are all sinners before God. Now some are complacent. What I mean by that, you know, there are some in this world that just do not care. And I don't think that's anybody here. That's why you're here this morning, because you do care. But some just don't care. Hey, if I'm in sin, I'm in sin. No big deal. Whatever. I just want to live life. And then you have some that are stubborn. Some are stubborn and they're hard-headed. And guess what? They're happy without God. They don't want God. They don't care. And that's just who they are. You know, like sheep, I can tell you this. Like sheep, we need a shepherd. We need someone to guide us and direct us. Here's my second fact concerning sheep. Not only are they dirty, but you know what? They're defenseless. Here's the technical description of sheep. Sheep are weak, defenseless, and foolish creatures. One shepherd said this. He goes, they will walk right into danger. They won't even give it a second thought. They'll just walk into danger. You know, there are some words. You know, when you think about sheep, there are some words that I can guarantee that will probably not come to your mind when you think about sheep. You're not going to think about vicious. You're not going to think about terrifying. You know, when we think of sheep, we don't think of words like that. How many of you ever heard of or read of, you know, in Spain they have the running of the bulls? I don't know if they have the running of the sheep anywhere. I don't think there'd be much of a contest, you know, just move them out of the way and watch out, it's no big deal. They're not aggressive animals. They're not dangerous animals as far as a danger to anybody else. Also, you'll never read of sheep getting into big, great battles. You know, you can go out west, and every year in September, you know, the elk will come down off the mountains, and they begin to establish their authority. And you'll find battles will take place. They have these big horns, big, powerful animals, and they'll butt their heads into each other, and they'll fight, and sometimes they'll fight until one of them is either injured or even sometimes lose their life. Rams will do the same thing. Big battles. You read about it. Sometimes people will film it and they'll put it on YouTube or they'll put it on videos. You don't find that with sheep. We don't read of great battles with sheep. We don't read of them fighting each other. We don't read of them really becoming a threat to anybody. They're just sheep. They're not scary. A matter of fact, you go to the zoo today, in the petting part, you'll probably find sheep. They're not intimidating to anybody. They're very defenseless creatures. You know, when you think about sheep, they're dependent creatures. That's what they are. They need somebody to care for them. They need somebody to protect them. And so they rely upon their shepherd. If there is no shepherd, then sheep are in a lot of trouble. And so they need a shepherd. You know, when you think of sheep, they won't defend themselves. I read where one man said that if anything, they may try to make a run for it. But even then, a lot of times they'll just sit there. Or they'll just roll over, they'll just lay down and just take it. They won't defend themselves and they usually won't run. They'll just sit there and just deal with the consequences. You know, when you think about it, today, I think we're similar to sheep. We are. We are powerless in this world of sin. The Bible makes it very clear that we have no power over sin. Before you were saved, if you're saved here this morning, before you were saved, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that you were bound by sin. You were under the power or the might of the devil. You didn't have the strength to throw off the devil. You didn't have the strength to break free from those chains of sin, or else you would have done it. Nobody has the strength to overcome sin or the devil with their own power. You know, a lot of people like to think so, but we don't. We are very defenseless when it comes to that. But we have a Savior who has set us free. Jesus Christ has set us free from the power of sin. Now, after we're saved, you know, you trusted in Christ as your Savior, you still don't have the power to overcome sin in and of yourself. Now, the power comes through Jesus Christ. What's Philippians 4 tell us? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, Jesus Christ provides the power to live a new life. He provides the power to not only read the Word of God, but to understand His Word, to know His teachings so we can apply Him and we can follow Him. You know, I've read of testimonies of people who read the Bible before they were saved. I've read it. I've heard of some who've read it through, think it was nonsense. One day, the Spirit grabbed hold of their heart. They trusted in Christ as their Savior. And all of a sudden, that book changed. They began to read the Bible, and it's new to them. It's different. There's teachings there. Everything begins to make sense. That's the power of God in their life, the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, and the power of Jesus that has changed their life. You see, Jesus Christ provides power, not only to read His Word, but also to follow after Him and to live a life that's pleasing to God. So sheep are defenseless creatures. Third, sheep are easily distracted. Easily distracted. You know, sheep will wander from one place to another simply based upon what they see. Now, if they have no shepherd, or if you see sheep out in a field that are allowed just to go free for a little bit, maybe they're fenced in, you'll notice that sheep will eat, and then as they eat, they'll look over, see somewhere else, and they'll just go over there and start eating, and then they'll go over there and start eating. They just wander. They don't think about direction. They don't think about returning. You know, some animals have that ability to come back. They know where they're going, and they have the ability to return. Sheep don't have that ability. They just wander. They just go. Wherever they find themselves, that's where they are. You see, they are easily distracted. Sheep can be frightened. You know, I've read of stories of people, some people, you know, have fun doing that. You know, they do all kinds of silly things to sheep just to distract them. They're very, I say, skittish animals. And they frighten easily. And when one runs, if they're in a group, you can be sure the rest are going to go with them. Because they sense danger, so they just take off. You know, I can say this, I think we're definitely like that. How many of you are easily distracted in this world? Very easily distracted. And we live in a world of distractions, by the way. You know, I think the devil has really used that to his advantage. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with technology. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a television or a radio or a computer or a smartphone or whatever. I don't think there's anything wrong with those. But if we're not careful, those can become distractions. We have to guard ourself with those. Those can become distractions. You know, there's an article written just the other day, and it talks about the dangers of social media in general, you know, as far as being a distraction. And it didn't name one in particular. It talked about all sorts of digital technology we have today and how they can be a distraction. Anyway, in that article, it said, according to eMarketer, according to one of their surveys, the average U.S. adult spent a little bit more time this past year, they said, in the digital world than watching television. And that was the first time that has ever been found in a survey. Basically, what that means is that for the first time, people spent more time either on their phones, or looking at their phones, on their phones, or on their computers, something in the digital world besides a television. Well, here's what made this whole thing interesting. This same survey found that it wasn't because they were watching less television. They still watched the same amount of television. They just got more involved in the digital world. Basically, it was summed up as this. People just went from one screen to another. They still watch the same amount of television. They just now, instead of talking to people or reading or doing something else, they spent more time in a computer screen or a phone screen, whatever it is. They've spent more time in the digital world. And this morning, I tell you what, that's a distraction is what that is. I'm not going to tell you to go throw your phone out or your TV or your computer or anything like that. Those are tools. As believers, what we need to do is understand that they can be distractions. It doesn't mean you're doing anything bad with them, but they can distract from prayer. They can distract from reading God's Word, from serving God, from being faithful, from just spending time with God. Or, how about spending time with your family? How about spending time with people that you love and care for, or spending time in church? See, we can allow them to become distractions, and anything can be a distraction. So it's just best to understand our limitations. You know, this morning, I also think, like sheep, we're easily scared. You know, we can, even the bravest, can say, ha, I'm not scared. You know, we might not have the same fears as we did when we were children. You know, you fear someone's under your bed at night, or you fear someone's outside. Our fears change. We can fear the future. We can fear finances. We can fear our family life. You know, we can have a lot of fears in this world. And like sheep, they can cause us just to be skittish and to be fearful as we go through this world. You know, sometimes we can even fear what could happen. I'm guilty of that. I look into the future and I begin to fear something that's not even taken place yet, but I just begin to worry that it might happen. Sometimes it doesn't even happen. I was afraid over nothing. See, we can fear things that don't even happen. You know, this morning, sheep need a shepherd so they can remain calm. So they know everything is taken care of. So they know that they will be provided for. You know, we need a shepherd as well. And I believe Jesus Christ is the best shepherd because He has everything under control. We just need to trust in Him. Here's my fourth fact concerning sheep. Sheep are dangerous. Not to each other or anybody else, but to themselves. Sheep are dangerous to themselves. Now, they're no threat to any other animal, but they're a threat to themselves. You know, sheep are creatures of habit. They will, if left to one area in a field, they will overgraze, and they'll eat out all that grass, and they'll move to another area, and they'll do the same thing. You know, 100 years ago in the frontier, when the West was being developed, that became a big problem amongst cattle ranchers and the sheep, the shepherds, because the men that had the cattle didn't want those sheep there because they knew that those sheep, if left to themselves, would just eat away the grass and ruin it instead of having it remain there. You see, sheep are dangerous to themselves. They'll eat away their own food supply and it'll be gone. Also, when you think about sheep, they'll use the same trail over and over and over and over and over. They don't see any threat. They don't recognize any threat. They'll get into a pattern. As a matter of fact, that's what some of the animals that prey upon them, wolves, coyotes, some of those animals, they see the pattern. And then they'll just wait for a sheep. And they'll just pick them off as they're walking on their trail. You see, they get into a routine and they stay in that routine. And then it becomes a problem. Also, sheep are good at finding trouble. They're good at finding trouble. And usually, you know when they find trouble, it's when they go for one last bite. They're eating food and they want one more bite, either because they're greedy or they're discontent that they can get food over there, and they go for one more bite. And you know what happens? They can get tangled in thorns or weeds, and if their coat is grown out and they get in those, they can't get out on their own. They're stuck. And if a wild animal comes along, they have no chance. They're stuck. Also, they can fall off cliffs, and they have fallen off cliffs before, because they're trying to reach for one more bite or trying to get this food there that they want so bad. You see, they require a shepherd not only to watch out for them, but to rescue them when they get themselves in trouble. Now admit it this morning. I will. We are similar to sheep. You know, I'm going to give you two men who I think summed it up pretty well. The first one was Charles Spurgeon. Here's the way he put it. He said, "Half the troubles of life are homemade and utterly unnecessary." I think I can agree with that. A lot of our troubles in our life are there because of our decisions, because of what we've done. Now, I'm not saying everything, but a lot of them are. The evangelist D.L. Moody said this. He says, "I have never met a man who has given me as much trouble as myself." And I think that's true. I know that's true with me. You know, I think we give a lot of credit to the devil. I think we give too much credit to the devil. I don't think the devil causes us to stumble and fall as much as we want to believe he does. I think we stumble and fall either because we're tempted and we just want to please ourselves, or we just make a bad decision. You see, we are dangerous to ourselves if we're not careful. Sheep need a shepherd. This morning, we need a shepherd. And that leads me into our second, I guess, a point here this morning. And that's four facts of a shepherd. Look back at John chapter 10 now. Four facts of a shepherd. It says here, and beginning in verse 4, it says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." You know what you find in this passage here, first and foremost, is possession. Possession. He's talking about sheep that belong to a shepherd. My first thought is the shepherd cares for his sheep. He cares for his sheep. And you'll notice here, he talks about them going into a door and how they follow the shepherd. And when the shepherd calls, they go. And all because they know their shepherd. They belong to a person. You know, the shepherd cares for the sheep. As we've already discussed, sheep do not take care of themselves. They don't clean themselves. And so they require endless attention and care. You know, I wonder sometimes if our Lord and Savior thinks the same about us. I wonder if we require endless attention and care. I wonder if our Lord and Savior, just like a shepherd is with sheep, is thinking, wow, you can't get by any day without having some sort of problem or issue or something. You see, sheep need to be taken care of constantly. And sheep depend on the shepherd. Now, there are some shepherds that are good. They're kind. They're gentle and they're loving. I think that describes our shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then there are some shepherds that are cruel, they're harsh, and they're neglectful. One shepherd in a book said this. He goes, sheep will show their ownership. And what he meant by that is when you look upon sheep, you'll be able to tell if their owner is a good shepherd or if he is a cruel shepherd. I think it's the same with us. You know, I think the world should see Jesus Christ through us. If you're saved here this morning, you have been changed. You have a new life. And that new life should be seen in your conduct. It should be heard in your words. And it should be seen just in the way you live. You know, I think someone should be able to pick out, or if nothing else, should be able to see that there's a difference between you and the world. There's something different about you. Whether it's the way you handle a problem, whether it's the way you deal with a difficulty, or whether it's just the way you encourage people as you go through your day. People should see a difference in you than they see in the world. And that all is because we have a Savior who has saved our soul and who has changed our life. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to read a passage here. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that talks about what Jesus has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and it says in verse 22, we'll begin there. It says, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, but not ye the servants of, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." You know, when Jesus Christ, when you were saved, when you were saved, when you were trusted Christ as your Savior, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ set you free. According to 1 Corinthians 7 and also in 1 Corinthians 6, the Bible says you were purchased. You were bought with a price. 1 Peter 1 tells us what that price was, and I'm going to read it. 1 Peter 1, if you're taking notes, it's verses 18 and 19. It says there, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers," but listen to this, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, the price for your soul was the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, that's why it's important this morning. That's why it's important for us to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Because salvation is not in good works. Salvation is not what you can do or what you can achieve. It's what Jesus Christ has already done. Lay down his life so you can be saved. You see, we've been purchased with a price. Now you think about our great shepherd. What greater shepherd could there be than one that purchased you with his life? That was willing to lay down his life so you could have eternal life. You see, that's the kind of shepherd we have. A wonderful shepherd who loves us and cares for us. Now this morning, those that are without Christ, and maybe there's one here this morning, that you have never trusted in Christ as your Savior. I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking church attendance or faithfulness or even good works. I'm talking about repenting of your sins and believing on Jesus Christ. If you have not done that, the Bible teaches that you're not saved, that you're without Christ. And if there's one here this morning that has not trusted in Christ as their Savior, the Bible teaches that you're without a shepherd. You know, Matthew 9, verse 36, when Jesus looked over the multitude, remember why he had compassion upon them? He said it was because they were sheep without a shepherd. You know, without a shepherd, this morning, without Jesus Christ, you have no purpose in life. Now some may say, Pastor, that's mean, that's cruel. Well, without Jesus Christ, what is your purpose in life? It's just to enjoy life, I guess. Just to do what you want to do because it pleases yourself. With Jesus Christ, there's a purpose now. You have a Savior. You have a future. You have a reason to live. Also, without Jesus Christ, you don't have any strength. You're going to take on every single problem with your own power and your own abilities. You may get some advice from people, and you may get some help, but you don't have the strength that God can provide. Also, without Christ, there is no stability. You see, Jesus Christ offers stability. Without Christ, there is no stability. It's from one problem to another. You know, I'm reminded, when you look at a river, and maybe you have something out there floating in the river, just sitting there, whether it's a piece of paper or a cup or something that has been tossed in, you notice it goes wherever the river takes it. Wherever the river flows, that's where it goes. It's not in control. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Those that are without Christ, that's how they are living in this world. The world is in control. And they're just going from one moment to another, living from one day to another, and there is no stability. Also, there's no peace. Without Christ, there's no peace, no peace with God, and you won't find any peace within because Jesus Christ provides that. And finally, and this may be to me one of the greatest that people are lacking or missing, how about hope? Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. You know, without Jesus Christ, when you face eternity, you're facing it on your own. There is no hope. There's no hope for tomorrow. There's no hope for a better day. There's no hope for eternity. With Jesus Christ, there is hope. You see, we have a wonderful shepherd who has provided all because he cares for us. Now, here's the second fact of a shepherd. Shepherd calls the sheep. Notice, let's go back to John chapter 10. It says there in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Here's the picture we have here in this passage. You have sheep. Usually at nighttime, if the shepherd wasn't going to watch his sheep out in the field, he would bring him into a city or into a town, and they would have what they would call a fold or an area where they could take their sheep and they could drop them off. And they would put their sheep in there, and other shepherds may do the same. And overnight, this area was usually had a wall around it made of rocks or something else. They would leave their sheep in there overnight, and they would stand guard. One of the shepherds would stand guard, and they would protect their sheep. And sometimes you could have, you know, several shepherds drop off their sheep there, you know, 10, 15 shepherds, and you have a whole group of sheep sitting in there, and they would just go in there and mingle for the night amongst themselves. Well, when the morning light would come, and a shepherd was ready to go, what he would do is he'd go to the door and he would call his sheep. Now, he wouldn't call them name by name. He didn't have them all named and called them. And he may have named them, I don't know. But he wouldn't just start announcing their name. What it was is the sheep could recognize his voice. You know, our voices are different. We have a different pitch in our voice. Some have deeper voices. Some have lighter voices. We sound different. And the sheep could pick up the voice of the shepherd, and they would follow their shepherd. He would just call them, maybe a general calling, and they would get up and they would make their way through the crowd, and they would walk on out, following their shepherd. If he had 20 sheep in there while he's walking out, 20 sheep would come on out, follow him. And then the next shepherd would call his sheep out. You see, that's the picture we have here. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, it says, and the sheep hear his voice, calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, this morning, Jesus Christ is our shepherd. And if you belong to him, you know his voice. He's your Lord and he's your Savior. He has not only saved your soul, but he has changed your life. And I believe you'll know his voice. Now, you'll say, well, how will I know his voice? What I mean by that is you'll know his teachings from his word. That's what the Holy Spirit was sent to do. He was sent to point men to Jesus and to clarify or to provide the teachings that Jesus had to us. So you, when you read the Scriptures, you belong to Christ. You don't need someone to tell you how to live. You just need to read the Bible and begin to apply the teachings that Jesus has for you. And so you'll begin to know His voice. You'll recognize the shepherd's voice. Also, sheep, I think, know that their shepherd cares for them. You know, I know this is a little bit of a different illustration, but I think children know when their parents care for them. And you can see it, by the way. You can see it in children when they know that their parents care for them, when they love them. No, they don't have to say it. You can just see it in the way they act. How they want to be there and how they trust Him and they follow after Him. And even when they get older, you know, us older kids, we as adults even, you know, when you have that relationship with your parents, if it's a good relationship, it's there, it's seen. You know, Jesus Christ provides what we need. And as believers, I think we find a shepherd that we can follow, that we can trust, that we can cling to because we know that He cares for us. Number three, the shepherd considers the sheep. Not only does He care for them and call them, but He considers them. You know, the presence of the shepherd calms the sheep. Whether it's daytime or nighttime, when the shepherd is not in the area, you'll find sheep will, they won't rest. They'll be skittish because they're afraid. But when a shepherd's in the area, they're calm, they're peaceful, and they'll rest. Now you think about this. A shepherd leads the sheep not only to places where they can eat, but leads them out of danger, all because they consider the sheep. You know, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the great shepherd. You know what it tells us He does today? By the way, in Hebrews, Jesus Christ today is at the right hand of God the Father. And you know what He's doing there? He's standing before God the Father on your behalf, on my behalf. He's standing and He represents us to God the Father. The reason why salvation is secure and the reason why we have eternal life is because Jesus Christ will always stand before God the Father on your behalf. You see, He is a great shepherd. He considers you. Not only that, but He has challenged or encouraged us to take our request to Him so we can have our prayers answered. You see, He wants to hear what we have to say. He wants to know all about our lives so we can follow after Him. You know, He's the great shepherd. He's not going to leave us. He'll never forsake us. Even in our darkest hours, even during our greatest troubles, we can count on Jesus Christ. We can seek Him and we can trust in Him. Here's my fourth and final thought on shepherds. They conduct the sheep. What I mean by that is shepherds are in control. The sheep don't go to the shepherd and say, "Hey, you know what? I think today we want to take this path. I think today I'd like to eat here." The shepherd is in control. The shepherd dictates the direction. The shepherd chooses where to go. The shepherd chooses where to eat. The shepherd guides and directs the sheep. You know, shepherds completely oversee the sheep. Protection, feeding, watering. You know, there's a lot of work involved for shepherds. Not only do they have to watch the sheep and clean them and make sure that they have no bugs on them, but they also have to clear out areas where they can eat. They clear out rocks, they may have to tear up bushes or stumps. And not only that, but sheep, as I mentioned before, they overgraze, which means that they have to be moved from one area to another area often. They can't just stay in one area. They got to move them around. And that's part of the work of a shepherd. Has to move the sheep around to new pastures. Has to pretty much provide everything for them. How about Jesus Christ this morning? I think He has provided everything that we need in this world. He has. He's provided peace. He's provided comfort. He's provided strength. All that's required of us is just to trust Him. Just to live by faith. You know, He goes out before us. He prepares the way. I imagine when we get to heaven, we'll probably be surprised if he chooses to show us how many times He prevented something from happening to us. Maybe a danger or a hardship or a difficulty. Something we may not have even seen or noticed. But He was looking out for us. It reminds me of children. Have you ever seen children? Or maybe those of you that have children. You've seen them in a store parking lot. They're about this tall and they want to bolt out as fast as they can. And they can't see any dangers. They don't see any cars. They don't see anything. They just want to run. It's the adults who can see the cars coming down the street. It's the adults who grab hold of the hand and say, "Slow down. You got to watch out for cars." I think God probably leads our life a lot like that. You know, we don't know what tomorrow holds. But God does. We just need to walk with Him and trust in Him to guide and direct. Also, when you think of sheep, when you see sheep following the shepherd, you know what? They're content when they have a shepherd who loves them and cares for them. When they have a shepherd who keeps them clean, who provides for them, you find a group of sheep that are content. They're content in His leading and in His direction. You know, as believers, since we have a great shepherd who has died for our sins and who has provided for us, I think we should be content with His leading in our life. How about with the past? Do you realize if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior that your sins are forgiven? The guilt is gone. We should be content that God has forgiven of us of those sins. How about right now, the present? God said that He'll take care of our needs. A few weeks back, we talked about the Bible gives us two needs, clothing and food. That's about it. And the Bible makes it clear that if we have those, we should be content. You know, there are a lot of wants in this world. And I'm going to tell you this, God has really blessed us. At least I'll speak for myself. Here in this country, all the blessings we have, there's a lot of blessings that God has just given us an abundance of. We should be grateful for those. But you know what? God has provided our needs and God will provide our needs. How about the future? We should be content because God is taking care of that. Not only is He taking care of our future on earth, He'll guide and direct, but you know what? He's taking care of our future in heaven, our eternity. You see, we serve a great shepherd. In closing this morning, I think it's safe to say that sheep need a shepherd. If left to themselves, they'd either die or they'd get themselves in trouble. There'd just be all sorts of problems if left to themselves. You know, this morning, as a person, I want you to think on this. You are in one of two categories. You have two categories, basically, that the Bible tells us of. You're in one of two. You're either a sheep wandering without a shepherd. In other words, you're living in this world without Jesus Christ. You're a sheep without a shepherd. You're making your own decisions, you're doing your own thing, and you're living life. And if that's the case, then everything else that comes with that independence comes with it. What I mean by that is, your future is of your own making. Your peace has to come from yourself. Your strength has to come from yourself. You know what? I think if anyone was honest, without Christ, we don't have a future. We have nothing. And if that's where you are this morning, that can be taken care of. The Bible teaches, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, if you want to be saved, Jesus Christ will accept you. You repent of your sin and believe on Him. That's what salvation is. It's simple. Coming to Jesus with a repentant heart and trusting in Him as your Savior. And the Bible teaches if you do that, then you will be saved. And Jesus Christ will be your shepherd in life. And He will guide and direct. I hope and pray this morning, if anyone here is like that, that they will make that decision and trust in Christ. Here's the second group, the second category. And this may be where you are this morning. You're sheep with a shepherd. You're sheep with a shepherd. Notice, you know what the Bible teaches? The Bible doesn't tell us that once we're saved that God moves us into another classification. He doesn't say that we're now horses or lions or tigers. We're still sheep. You know, we may not want to admit that. We're sheep with a shepherd is all we are. Our life has been changed. But you know what? If left to ourselves, if we decide we want to live in our own strength and power, then guess what? We're going to get ourselves into trouble. No different than someone in the world would. We are sheep with a shepherd, though. We have a shepherd who will guide, who will direct, who will protect, who cares for us, who loves us, and who we can trust in and who we can follow in this world. You know, when it comes down to it, we are simply sheep with a shepherd. And what we need to do is follow our shepherd, Jesus Christ. So I hope and pray this morning that as believers, that you'll follow Jesus Christ, that you'll read the Bible, and that you'll discover His teachings, and that you'll apply those teachings and begin to live and allow Christ to live through you, and that when you have problems, troubles, or trials, that you'll take them to Him and you'll find His strength to get through those troubles and those trials, and that you'll simply follow the shepherd that you have. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings that You provided. I pray that You'll bless us this week. I pray that You'll continue to guide and direct this church and also guide and direct us as individuals. We pray that You'll bless those that are unable to be here this morning. Also bless our missionaries and their efforts today. And I pray that You'll allow us to return back on Wednesday night and also next week for our Sunday service.